What if it's not about a building? What if it's not about stained glass or steeples? What if it's about just Jesus? I used to think I didn't have to be a Christian to make it into heaven. I used to just think that as long as I did the right things and I kind of followed the Bible, that I would make it. There's got to be a grace period there, but I didn't know that the grace involved Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, it doesn't matter what you have. You're never going to make it, because that's a core part, right?
Go on and preach, brother.
I thought the exact same thing. I thought it was almost like a point system.
That's exactly what I thought.
You know, I mean, like, I do good things. I'm kind to people. I donate. I do all of these things. So, you know, I'm building up my points.
Yeah, I would sit back and think, well, I'm a better of a person than a lot of the people that go to church. So
yes.
I'm a shoo-in, right?
Right. I thought that exactly.
And so many people think that, well, you know, my uncle, my mom, my pastor, my whatever was such a good person and I learned after them. And so I'm good. I'll just ride in on their shirt tail or skirt tail. And it doesn't work that way. And I was thinking about this and it just hit me, like, there are so many people that think because I'm a good person that I can make it, that it's fine. No problem. That's just not true.
But when you think about all the theories of the Bible, everything about the Bible, you think, if I'm a good person, if I'm following the same rules, even if I don't believe, mm-hmm. there's going to be a way for me to get in.
You would think. You would really think that. But what it all boils down to is a person could literally be good, do kind things, acts of charity, but not have a relationship with Jesus.
I guess I almost thought maybe there are different levels.
Just get on the ground floor.
I know. I was like, you know, like there's heaven.
Like Mario.
The high. Or and then there's
video
the
game.
I'm good people. I'm going to get, you know, some of the stuff and the perks, but I'm not in hell yet.
It's the hotel motel, right?
Yeah, the hotel motel. You know, I guess I always just thought, you know, I'm not murdered anybody.
Yeah.
So I guess the level.
Maybe you could be a doorkeeper.
Right. So now I know it's cut and dry.
And I'll tell you one thing that could clarify it somewhat a little bit. And it's the fact that in these last days, you know, the world through different time periods, there was a time before the flood of Noah that people lived by their conscience. And then there was the law of Moses,
mm-hmm.
and people were forced to live a certain way, basically. And the thing is in this dispensation of time, it's Jesus. And it's like, if you have Jesus, you will get into heaven through the holiest of holies,
mm-hmm.
because you got the holiest of holies, the one and only Son of the living God. And when you ask him into your heart and recognize him as Savior, you get in through his blood. Mm-hmm. And when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, you become sanctified. Justified. You're dripping with the glory of God.
But you have to say those words. You have to do that, because you can't just believe.
Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord.
Right. But just believing and going to church and saying you believe in God, all of those things, that doesn't count, right? You have to say those words.
Well, now I think that's where the grace comes in.
Well,
because he knows your heart, right?
Well, you got to, like, you could expound a little more on what you're saying. You said, if you said you believe,
Right.
Like, you say you believe in God or what?
Yeah, I say that I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in all of these things, but I didn't say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Okay. Well, that's different because, yes, Stephen, there is grace for that lack of knowledge. And the thing is that this is a very important factor. This is what separates religions, and especially godly religions.
Mm-hmm.
People can say, I believe in God, but that won't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can get you to heaven. And in this circumstance, these are two very different things, even though the Bible says these three are one. The Son of God is the only thing. If, like, there's lots of other religions that believe in God,
mm-hmm.
but they don't believe in Jesus.
So are they not going to heaven?
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, no man comes to the Father but by me. Nobody. This is the plan of salvation. There is no other plan. There is no other plan of grace or salvation. There's no other covenant or testament but through Jesus Christ. And that's the difference.
That blows my mind. I'm just saying, you know, thinking that there are religions and things out there that do not believe in Jesus. It just blows my mind.
And I don't know how it's written, and I don't know all the details of it, but I personally believe that there's a grace somewhere in there that will get everybody that believes in God in heaven.
That's not what Jesus said.
But as a person that doesn't know, I feel like there's got to be some grace in there. Just for the lack of knowledge. Someone's okay. Told them.
What's the gospel? The gospel.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right?
No. The gospel.
Jesus is the gospel.
That's good. The gospel. Yes. Yes.
You said that today. Jesus is the gospel.
Okay, I got to look something up for real.
But I do want to say something. But they're being taught. You said that she has some grace because she doesn't know.
Yeah, but that's believing in Jesus and not, she said, I believe in Jesus, but I didn't say Jesus come into my heart. That's different. Man. So, and the Bible says also in Mark, God literally said, you, like talking to you in this situation, you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth.
But what if someone doesn't know that they have to do that?
That's what I'm wondering, because there's different books, even if they read the same Bible and they just don't know. And there's got to be some grace in there, right?
That's a good question, but in Jude, the Bible said the grace of God, which has appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. There is no way to do that without Jesus. Jesus is the bridge to God. Like, people can walk around all day and say, I believe in God, I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, could that be the same as an atheist who does not believe in God because they don't believe in the plan that God has set in place, which is Jesus?
So I want to think
He is the door into heaven.
I want to think that if you don't know that, and if you don't know that you have to do that through Jesus, then I would like to think that God will help guide you to see that.
There you go. There you go. And you are exactly right. That's why.
Because He's not going to forsake you and just be like, yeah, sorry, you missed that box to check.
Here's the difference,
right?
Too.
I mean,
here's the difference, too, for real. If a person would be willing to believe in Jesus, but just didn't know, that is different. As opposed to, there's people walking on this earth right now that say, I only believe in God. Like, there is no Jesus.
I think that's what we're talking about. The people who are willing, that would be 100% wholeheartedly you know, would believe in Jesus, they just don't know that they have to do that.
Well, and I was playing the other side of that for a minute. I mean, I think Jesus is the only way to get to heaven.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think there's a little grace in there for all of us, and we all have our own pitfalls and areas that we lack. And I'm just thinking that surely there's a little grace for everyone.
There is no grace, though, without Jesus.
Oh, man, touche. That's a good point, dude. You got me on that one.
So
yes. I think that debate's over. It's not even debatable.
So, I think that was, you know,
just signed, sealed, and delivered. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like even Paul the Apostle talked about you can't allow anybody else or even yourself make sure that you preach no other gospel.
Mm-hmm.
There is no grace without Jesus. There is no gospel without Jesus. There is no plan of salvation without Jesus. Just Jesus.
Oh, that was good.
I do want to say that I think there's good people. And
that don't get you to heaven.
That's right. So, but just because you're a good person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. We've established that. But moving forward, so even if you're a bad person,
mm-hmm.
but you say you believe in Jesus, will you get to heaven?
Okay, that's a great question. And only God would be able to judge that person, because there are a lot of people that may say they believe in something, but could be for their own gain, could be for their own profit, could be for their own agenda. Like, there was a soothsayer, like witchcraft.
Oh, I was like, what is that?
Like a woman, psychic, like that sort of thing. Familiar spirits that followed Paul for a long period of time as he had followers and stuff following him for Jesus. And this lady was like, oh, yeah, you know, Paul the Apostle and, you know, all these people with him, this Jesus, and was all about it and was really, really just lifting these people up.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a witch. She only did that so when Paul left to go somewhere else, that all those people would remember her and that she talked good about Paul and that she would get some kind of her own kind of thing going, because she made money that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get more people. And Paul got sick of it and literally said, come out in the name of Jesus and cast the devil out of that woman. So, am I saying everybody's witches? No, but there's witchcraft and evil and darkness in this world. And just because somebody even says, I believe, only God can look at the heart of that person and know, no matter, like, if, like you said, you may not say, Jesus, come into my heart. But if your heart and you are saying that without saying that, and you want Jesus and you want anything that God has set in place, give it to me. I'm done trying it myself. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So God knows that person, and yes, he will save that person. But he also knows people that have all these other kind of darknesses that they're trying to gain.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you say, I believe, you know, only God knows that.
I see that. That's, I feel that way too, because I think that if you can say, anybody can say anything.
Exactly right.
But you don't mean it. Only
which is,
Jesus and God know your heart.
And which is exactly why we're talking about what we're talking about in the verse that we're about to check into here.
Yeah, I think one thing that came up in my head is we've talked a lot in my house about a customer service voice here lately.
So what about that?
Yeah, so it's not you. You're just making a claim of, you know, I answer the phone, I've got to say, hey, welcome, thank you for calling. You know, that customer service voice.
Yeah.
That's not you. It's just a front you're putting on because you get paid to do it.
Heck yes. Come on.
And I'm just thinking that that's the same thing these people are doing. They don't have the fruits of the spirits. Mm-hmm. They're just putting those on as a front a lot of times, or saying, oh, I know Paul. Oh, yeah, Corey. Yeah, no, Pastor Corey. Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
Come on. Yes.
Those are the things we're just using for our own gain.
Dude, there are so many people that are having services in church buildings that look and appear to be fire filled. That look, my dad, I've heard him say many times, it's foxfire. Do you know what foxfire is?
No.
Mm-mm.
It looks like a light, but then you get up to it and it's fake. It's just an illusion. It's not really.
Okay.
So there's lots of people that can jump around and shout and speak in some kind of gibberish and say they're speaking in tongues and saying filled
okay.
with the Holy Spirit, and they are fire filled and they know all about it. And it is as fake as a $30 bill. I just threw a number out there, but people do that. There is so much facade in this world. That's why Jesus said in John 15 in the red letters, I am the true vine. To be saying I'm the truth, there's got to be a fake. There's a fake everything. There's a fake church. There's a fake prophet. You know how many prophets are in this world sitting there preaching the word of God and doing all these things and taking up offerings and taking people's money?
Selling that snake oil.
And it's all their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in Peter, the Bible says in his writings, he said, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a profit, but of a ready mind. And this is what I love. Neither being lords over God's heritage, God's children, God's people, but examples to the flock. Examples.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me. If we could be bold enough for the ones that have the real anointing and know that you know that you know, as the song says, my Redeemer lives and he lives in me. And everywhere I go, everywhere you go, Stephen, you are carrying the power of God on your person, and you are filled with fire and anointing and healing and gifts of God and all of the heavenly host. And when you walk into a place, you are literally heaven colliding with earth, and you're carrying fire in you. As Jeremiah said, his word is in my heart, shut up in my bones like a fire, and I can't withhold it. So there's people that say all of that, but it means nothing. They say all of that. They do all of that, but it's fake. Now, am I the one to judge those people? Those people? No, I'm not the one, but this is why the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. And just because a person seems like they're God-filled, they say they are, just because you do nice things, your heart, your spirit, the spirit in you, that's the spirit literally of truth, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of fire in you, will bear witness with that spirit. And the Bible says, like I've said before, try the spirits to see if they be of God. How? You shall know them by their fruits. Why? Because they're good, because they're kind, because they give lots of money to charities? No, that's not it. You either have Jesus or you don't. And that is going to flow out of you like a faucet It's going to be love. It's going to be joy. It's going to be peace. It's going to be patience. All of these things that you just feel in confirmation with your spirit to theirs, faith to faith, glory to glory. It's not just being kind. It's not just doing acts of kindness.
Whenever we started this, you told me to switch to Galatians 5:22.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you talk about the fruits of the spirits a lot.
Yeah.
But I've never read the verse myself. And it starts off, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives.
Mm.
It's not who we are. It's not us being this or that.
Yeah.
This is the Holy Spirit actually bringing it out of us. It's producing that inside of us. And I never caught that before. I just thought, okay, now we're people of God. We're Jesus's people. We're going to do what we need to do to be the Jesus people.
Yeah.
But this is actually the Holy Spirit coming out of us.
Come on.
Those fruits and those ways. And we'll get to that in just a second. But it just amazed me that's not just us. That is the Holy Spirit coming out of us.
Yes, and the Bible says, we talked about it today, what goes into a man does not defile a man. What defiles a man or a woman is what comes out. So you are protruding these things. You are projecting light, not just light, not just like you turn on a flashlight. I'm talking about the light of God that spoke this thing into existence, that twirls it around on his fingers while the planets are in orbit and they're all in space and they're moving in order of God, and the earth is spinning on an axis of like 600 and something thousand miles an hour right now while we're sitting in this room, because God said so. And God took the stars and flung them into that black of night, and they stayed. And God told the ocean, you can only come this far, and moon, hide until the sun comes out. And it's all order. And Paul said, all things must be done in decency and in order. You want to see things that look out of order, that people say, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm anointed, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But then you go into their presence and something doesn't connect in your spirit, in your heart. There's no order with it. There's no peace about it. There's no fruit about it. And it's weird and it's off. And that is a thing.
All right, Sven, I want you to pay attention because I got a question for you after this. Galatians 5:22.
It's giving me a test. Okay.
Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm.
Those are things that you've always had.
Ah.
Aww.
And I think it's funny that this says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. But I can tell you, you've always had these kinds of things, but they've came out differently since you became a Christian. And I think that's what really hit me there.
Which means that she didn't really always have it.
She didn't have the same.
Come on.
But she had something that resembled the fruits of the Spirit.
Oh, come on. So it looked like, that's what we're saying, man. There's people that don't have it, but they think they have it. They want it. They tell people they have it. It looks similar, but it's not. Like, the devil disguises himself in light. The Bible says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing.
Well, I have to tell y'all, I feel like I have just been glowing lately.
Just let your soul glow. Is that how it goes? Something close?
Oh, yeah. So
I don't think it was close.
Coming to America, it was exactly the same. It was awesome. And I know it's crazy, but you feel different. Do you feel different, Stephen?
Yeah, and it's so hard to gauge yourself, or at least it is for me. But what I can tell you is,
I can tell a difference. Jeez.
Look, I was both pointing at you. Right.
It's like night and day. You're talking about the guy that the man gave him a Bible or a book, and he a Christian book and he used it to help prop up his table. I mean, what you're saying on the propped side or something, that little
thing? Oh, yeah, yeah. Lean or prop me up on my leaning side.
Ah, talk a little bit about that. I forgot how that goes. Can you?
Man, I've been put on the spot all day today.
I know.
Just give him a little something.
Yeah, he was talking about an old barn, and it was leaning. And so they end up putting the props on the leaning side. And when they do that, the leaning side becomes the strongest side.
Mm.
And he was saying that's what God does for us. He props us up on our leaning side, the side that began as the weakest part of the barn, becomes the strongest part of the barn because
oh my God.
And that's what God does for us. He finds our weakest sides and he ends up propping us up to where that's no longer a weak side. He is our strongest point.
Dude, I believe in 2 Corinthians 12, it says,
that's awesome.
Paul begged God to, actually Jesus replies back to him, but he begged for a thorn to be removed in his side, not a physical thorn, but an affliction or something. The Bible don't talk, and it's very controversial to what it is or different beliefs, but he begs God to remove the thorn, whatever the problem is. Three times he begs him, and the answer comes back, and God says, it's actually Jesus in the red letters. Jesus says, he doesn't say no, but he doesn't say yes, but he says this: my grace is sufficient. I'm about to run. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah.
When you're the weakness,
amen, right?
What's your prop? God. The thing where you were the weakest, God has moved in and became a bridge to you, and where we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and God has come in to be that strong prop, and we are leaning to that side where God is. And in our weakest point, my grace, Jesus said, is sufficient. So the giant's still there. So the waves are still crashing down on you. So the mountain won't move. Okay, but God says, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. It will take you over the mountain. It will take you around the giant. It will take you and span you across the widest rivers and the deepest waters. And the Bible said, I've called you by your name. Fear not. When you pass through the waters, Isaiah said, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, the flame will not even kindle upon you. Because you're mine, you are leaning on me. There's an old song that says, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, 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 lean on God. And it's like a tree, that an apple tree. I heard somebody say once, an apple tree does not strain to bear the fruit. It's an apple tree. It just happens. The apples appear and they come out of the branches. If you are connected to Jesus and Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches, then the fruit of God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will come out of you. You do not have to strain for that. You do not have to work for that. The grace of God was a free gift, and he put it on you when you were absolutely dead and useless. And the grace of God is what gave you the power and the strength to stand. And now through the grace of God and the fruits of God and the love of God and the power of God and the grace of God comes through you. And you don't have to do anything but say, Jesus, come into my heart.
And then, poof, I got apples on my tree.
Yes, these are better than apples, though, and these are better than oranges. Yes, man.
Savannah, how many times did you, before you were a Christian, just think that, man, it'd be really nice to just believe in all those things that they believe in? Just know that when you die, you're going to go to this special place and you're going to know all the people that you know and see all the people that you know. You're going to re-see your kids, your family, your dad, your mom, all these people.
That sounded fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to believe that? It sounds great.
Yeah. Man.
So even the people that don't believe, I feel that everybody has a deep down want to believe. They just have to find that moment where they can turn around and dive in and understand and believe what they need to.
I'll tell you from experience, it is harder to not believe than it is to believe, because you work harder finding reasons why that's not right or why that can't be real, or why you're constantly looking for reasons that to contradict everything that you can learn in the Bible.
Yeah. There are actual transcripts, scrolls that, I mean, how many people do you need to say something is real? How many witnesses do you have to have through history to make a historical moment come to life because two or three or however many witnesses says it's true? We have written transcripts that say Jesus walked this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not enough? Because he's not here? You know? What else happened in this world hundreds, thousands of years ago that has happened, and we know it has happened?
I just wanted to believe it was all a conspiracy. it wasn't real.
And so everybody wants to do that, that they are afraid of the unknown, and they are afraid that of the thing that's going to ask them to sacrifice something about their lives. That's why it's so hard for people.
I remember at one point saying that this is a big conspiracy theory just to make people good people.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, then I heard someone else say one time, and it really opened my eyes. All of the people of the Bible, how could that many people come up with something, write it down, and there not be something saying it's not? And then you look at something like Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes, that was 12 guys, right? That went to pots really quick.
Exactly.
Man, exactly. Yes.
So what's the odds of that many people being able to come up with something so big as the Bible and written it so many different years and all that stuff? There's no way it could be fake.
And keep it all under wraps.
Right. Yes. 100%.
Okay. How is it that there are all of these writers from, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, you know, the first five books are Moses. And then after that, all of these writers, all of these prophets, all of these apostles have written a book hundreds and thousands of years apart in different generations. And somehow, some miraculous way, all of this book fits right together with all of these stories over all of these years, over all of these different writers, and this book all comes together perfectly.
The odds of that being faked are just, I mean, it's just not possible.
Right. So, Corey, what would you tell somebody that's kind of in the shoes that we were just talking about? You don't believe, but it's hard to believe, but yet you really want to because you know it would be so great. Where do you find that? And I know we've talked about faith, and I know we've talked about it's like the wind and all of these things, but there's no book they can read besides the Bible that's just going to tell them 100% that it's real. And there's nothing you can go outside and search. There's nothing other than just your own gut instinct with your own communication with God and your own connection, right?
Right. The most beautiful thing about God is the fact that, and this is crazy because people can really just turn it around and say it's not good, but God gives you your own free will of your own choice and people say, yeah, you say God gives me my own free choice, but yet if I don't choose him, then I'm in hell. But he doesn't send you to hell. You have to realize that God is the creator from everlasting to everlasting, from the very beginning. The only reason humanity is on this earth was made for his own pleasure. You were made for God. You were made for him. You belong to God. And he gives you free choice because he loves you so much. And he says, if you don't want me, you don't have to have me. I will not force my way into your life. I will not kick your doors down and come in, even though I could, even though I hold all the planets, even though I hold all the power, even though I hold your very breath in my hand, just like I do the stars. And I could take it away in the snap of a finger, but I give you your choice. And I say, choose. You choose. You can have it or you don't have to have it. Is it scary? Is it a bad, catastrophic thing that you will face if you don't choose him? Yes. But you got that choice. And if you choose to go there, it's because you choose to go there. And all you have to say, stop making it scary. Stop thinking that it's something that you can't do because you don't understand it. God does not want you to understand it. God does not want you to have it all figured out. God does not want you to think that you have all the answers and you've made it logical in your mind. All he wants you to do is say, I've tried this thing myself. It didn't work. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. That's all you have to do to save yourself from an everlasting, eternal hell. Remember, he made you for him. What you don't understand and where you fall short in that knowledge, he will fill the gaps and he will become the bridge to you. And he sent everything that he had because even if you were kind, even if you seemed like a nice person, that is not what saves you. That is not what securely sets you at the foot of the cross. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, what if I could speak all languages of humans and even of angels? But if I did not love others, I would be nothing. And I'm not just talking about love like I love ice cream or I love fishing. Like, this is an agape love that's the ultimate sacrificial love, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He bankrupt heaven for you to make you a way back to him. And if I did not love others with that kind of love, I would be nothing more than a clanging cymbal that means nothing, like a door that just creaks when you open it. And if I understood all of the mysteries and all of the knowledge, and I had faith to move mountains, but I would still be nothing unless I loved others. What if I gave away everything that I owned and I let myself be burned like a martyr? I would still gain nothing unless I love others. And there's only one way to produce that real, synthetic truth, unfeigned, genuine love. And it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who came here to take your sins away and to take my sins away. And all you have to do is say, come into my heart. And Jesus said, by this very greatest fruit of all, "By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." That kind of love will take you over. Be blessed.